the primary way to stay on top of everything is just to take action on the daily. So one, okay. I like to play games because everything is more fun when it's a game. And it sounds like it's not work if it's a game. So the main game that I make my family play, and I always ask, or I always challenge others to play it too if they're struggling with this, is just to set a timer for 15 minutes, mm-hmm. maybe on your microwave so you won't be tempted to look on your phone.
I like that.
15 minutes and just do nothing but put things away.
Hey, this is Allison, and welcome to the Inspire Budget Podcast, where we talk all things budgeting, debt, and saving money. Today, I have Christina Heideck joining us, and she is actually a professional organizer based out of Ohio. Now, I know you might be thinking, professional organizer, what does that have to do with money? But I promise it all connects together. We're going to be talking a little bit about how clutter and organization can actually impact our finances and the benefits that it can have whenever you're willing to take back control of the clutter in your home. Let's go ahead and dive in. Welcome, Christina, to the Inspire Budget Podcast. I am excited about this episode because I love organizing, and I know that it can help us so much with our money.
That's true. And I'm so glad that we have this in common. I'm sure we have a lot more in common that we'll find out shortly.
Yes. So I want you to tell us a little bit more about yourself, because I know you used to be an attorney and now you're a professional organizer. And I feel like that's two very opposite professions. And I want to know how you went from one to the other and why you feel like organizing is really where your passion lies.
Yeah, you're not alone in thinking there's a huge disconnect. My mother-in-law, I think, had a lot of questions when I first started. She's like, wait, you're leaving a very good job. And I'm like, yes, it is a very good job. However, the expectations were 60 to 70 hours a week. And when I had my first little baby, that was not something that I wanted to do. And I told my husband, if the babies are coming out of me, then I am staying home with them. Yeah. So, and plus it's easier for women to go back to work than it is for men and all that jazz. But really the transition to being a professional organizer was not something that came right away. Like it took me a while to figure out what I wanted to be when I grew up.
Yes, me too. Yeah. I can relate to that. I feel like a lot of people can relate to that. One of my best friends was just telling me, she was like, I'm about to turn 40 and I don't know what I want to do. I was like, that's okay. You still have time.
That is okay. Cause I think there's many chapters in your life and everything leads to the next. And really being an attorney, I was a litigation attorney. So there's a lot of research and a lot of reasoning and like figuring out your ending point and how to get there. Right.
Right.
How to do it in a step-by-step manner. And so that's really kind of the same thing as organizing too, especially working with clients. You have to not persuade them, but kind of.
Yes.
And so the transition happened because I was watching TV, you know, as all people looking for a new career will do. I was watching Hoarders, and it was one of not my favorite shows, but certainly an engaging show. Mm-hmm. And there was one particular organizer, because they have on rotating sets of organizers and mental health professionals. And my husband actually had joined me on the couch, and I said, so I think I could be Dorothy. And he's like, I think you could be Dorothy too. And it wasn't something that I had ever considered. This is not even a profession that's been around. Like professional organizers didn't even exist as a thing before like the 1980s. So it's new, but that coincides with all of the decrease in the cost of imports. So it's kind of funny how all these things happen. Yeah. So I just started helping people that I knew kind of for free or for very low cost. And I said, this is something you would actually pay for. And they said, yes. And so that's kind of how it started. And then in talking with my mom, she said, well, this has always been something you've been good at. Like kind of comes naturally to you. And she said, when you were growing up, you always had a lot of playdate requests because moms realized that you would clean up the playroom before you left.
Oh my gosh. I love it.
So like your dance card was full, baby. And I was like, oh, that's kind of funny. So because it does come naturally to me, but the part that really I think is the connection with being the attorney is being able to communicate with others and kind of get them to see where things are missing, where things are in misaligned. Cause that's really the biggest thing with clutter and disorganization is there's a misalignment with where people think they are or think they want to be in life and where they actually are.
Yes.
So, and I think that's the same with money too. Just to bring it down full circle. Like, I think they're all very interconnected.
Yes. And so, you know, we do talk about money on this podcast. I personally struggle with ADHD. So when I have clutter, it impacts my mood. It impacts the way I respond to my family. It impacts the way I treat myself. It impacts the way I feel. And I think it's because my mind already feels so cluttered that when my physical space is sometimes cluttered, and if it's, especially if it's not my clutter, I can't function very well. And when I don't function very well, I don't make the best decisions, especially when it comes to money or anything in life. So I fully believe that clutter and organization can impact our money in different ways other than what I just mentioned. Do you agree? And how do you think it does impact our money?
Absolutely. It directly impacts it. So you have the very real consequence of you get hit with a late fee because you can't find the bill to pay, and that impacts your credit negatively, which makes it more expensive.
Wow. Right?
You need to get money. That's kind of huge. People don't think about it. It also impacts your money because it clutter ties up your money. So if you are a person that says, you know what, I can't find that pair of scissors, so next time I'm at Target, I'm just going to buy another pair so I have them.
Yep.
Now you've invested in how many pairs of scissors? Mm-hmm. And these are all like low cost little things that we
that
are
add
doing
up
in a big way,
yes,
in a big way. And so if you look at like a lot of my clients will have maybe 20 pairs of scissors times four, let's say they only paid $4.
Yeah.
It's almost $100 on scissors.
Yeah. I mean, you're right.
That's a lot of money.
When you said the bill thing, I actually years ago, maybe about 4 years ago, I had my car registration and I tend to sometimes get this basket of clutter, right? Like the mail and all the things. And my intention is to go through it weekly. It doesn't always happen. Well, my registration sticker was in that basket and I went without putting my registration sticker on for 6 months. I had it. It was somewhere, but I didn't have it. I got pulled over. I got a ticket. I had to take a day off of work. I had to go to court and pay a fine all because I said, but sir, can you look online and see my car is registered? He said, I can, but you were without it for 6 months. So I'm going to have to give you a ticket. I was like, this is such a headache. So that just lack of organization in my life led to a huge headache for me and financially just having to pay for something and just with my time. I wasn't able to spend my time how I wanted to. I had to go and sit in court. It was awful. I hated it.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. I'm sorry that happened. That's not an uncommon though.
So, no, like, I don't
one
think
time
so.
I was working with a client, we were going through mail and I was like, I think your car insurance is no longer valid because she had been a little klutzy with her car and kept like running into things. And so her insurance dropped her. And I was like, you have car insurance. And she was like, oh my gosh. So we had to like, she spent the rest of the session getting car insurance.
Oh,
and
wow.
We had enough stuff and I had been working with her long enough that I said, you go on. I know what to do. I can continue to work here. And I was like, I'm so glad I found this out because what if she had been driving? She's a musician. So she's in her car constantly, which is part of the reason why she had the little fender benders.
Yeah.
And what if she had gone out to another gig and gotten into an accident, she wouldn't have had coverage. That would have been huge for her. So that was really, she's like, I can't believe this happened. And I was like, me either, but like, got to go through mail. Like,
yes.
I've heard from another client who said, oh, I have a story to tell you. This is like something I've struggled for a really long time. He was fully grown with kids. And he said, back in college, I did not go through mail. I would just throw all of my mail into a box. And when I moved to my new house, the mail, like that mailbox, like moved with me. And a couple of years later, I finally went through it. And don't you know, relatives had sent me a card with a check in it. And
oh my gosh.
He was out the money because you can't
a company cash that. Yeah.
No. Well, it's stale, but you can't also go to like your aunt and uncle and say, hey, I was a slacker and didn't cash that check. Can you cut me another one? Like if it's a company, you know, you can go and ask, they have to reissue it. But personally, he was just out the money. He's like, I totally could have used that money as a poor starving college student.
Right.
Oh my gosh. So it hits you in like lots of different ways that I think people don't really realize because they're most of the time minor. And so people just write it off. It's just like the cost of living or whatever. And it's like, well, that's one way to do it. That's the expensive way to do it.
Right. And a time consuming way to do it.
Well, sure. But time is money, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because
if your time is tied up, it's like, especially if you're self-employed, you can't be making money if you're spending time looking for things or you're losing out on clients because they come to your office and they're like, I don't think you're competent because you have piles of junk everywhere. Mm-hmm. Like that's a very real thing.
So we kind of talked about some of the financial benefits is right. You can say it'll save you money. It'll save you time, and time is money. But I'm curious to know, when it comes to organizing, especially organizing and making sure our money benefits from it, what do you think are like ways that we can organize our life that directly impacts our finances? Like, for example, what I'm thinking of is obviously like having some sort of system when incoming mail comes in. I mean, I know I don't get a lot of bills in the mail anymore, but sometimes I'll get a stray bill here or there, or sometimes I'll get medical bills. But what type of systems do you recommend people have? I'm just curious, that can directly benefit their money.
Sure. Well, the primary way to stay on top of everything is just to take action on the daily. So one, okay. I like to play games because everything is more fun when it's a game. And it sounds like it's not work if it's a game. So the main game that I make my family play, and I always ask, or I always challenge others to play it too, if they're struggling with this, is just to set a timer for 15 minutes, maybe on your microwave, so you won't be tempted to look on your phone.
For
15 minutes and just do nothing but put things away or just put everything away where it goes just for 15 minutes. You know, you're going to stack up all of the magazines together. You're going to pull all the mail. Like maybe you don't have a system for keeping your mail in one place. You're going to get it all in one place and you're not going to read through the mail at that point. You're just going to collect it all. And then at the end of the 15 minutes, you're going to find that you have done probably an hour's worth of work like that would have taken you otherwise without being so focused.
Yeah.
So you can really concentrate your efforts and get a lot more done than if you weren't so purposeful with your time.
That is interesting. I'm actually surprised because you're so right. When I think about it, like I'll go down these rabbit holes and then I don't actually get anything done because I'm trying to do too many things at once. But my husband, he's always really focused. And so he gets things done and he completes the task. I'm not quite the same. So when I organize, I tend to go in all of these areas and I'm not left with anything.
Yeah. Well, that's part of the ADHD, right? So you just need to get hyper-focused, but 15 minutes. The reason I use 15 minutes is you can do anything for 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like I've had two babies in 15 minutes without an epidural.
You know, gosh,
you can do it. I've had my teeth drilled on with no Novocaine. It was about 15 minutes. I don't like needles. So you got to look at the cost, cost, risk, benefit with all that. And it wasn't worth it to me because I knew what the result, like I had had an epidural at one point, had residual back pain for 6 months. So I knew what that felt like. And I'm like, if I can just tough this out. So the bottom line is you can do anything for 15 minutes. So you can maintain focus for 15 minutes. And that's by setting a timer and then sticking with it for that amount of time and just trying to, it's like beat the clock.
Right.
Your own little personal game, but you just get so much more done. And it's, for me, it's motivating because I know it's only 15 minutes and it's like, you can carve out 15 minutes of your day. I don't care how busy your schedule is. You don't even have to do it 15 minutes all at once. If you really can only do 10 minutes in the morning and 5 minutes at the, at the end of the night, you know, break it up. But the main point is just to do stuff. And then another kind of correlating rule with that is the 2 minute rule that I like to tell people to stick with, that if something is going to take you 2 minutes or less, just go ahead and do it right then.
Oh yeah.
So like going through the mail and just sorting, pulling everything out that you're going to, that is recyclable, right?
Yes.
Yes. Just do it right when it's in your hot little hands. Don't set it down because if you set it down, then something else is going to go on top of it. And then you're going to have to be like, where did I put the mail?
Yeah.
So you just do it right then. Cause it's going to take you the least amount of time when it's in your hands right then.
That's true.
Or the first time that you're seeing something. So like responding to a party invitation or a wedding invitation. How long does it take to fill out that little RSVP card, especially if you know you can't go?
Okay. I need to do this. This is something like what you just said. I'm the one that needs to hear this. I don't know if any of the listeners need to hear this, but I know I need to hear this because I think what I do, and I wonder if anyone else is like me, is I say, oh my gosh, I'll do this later. It only takes 2 minutes. I'll do it later. And then it adds to my list. And then I'm so overwhelmed with my list that I'm like, oh, I can't do any of that. It's too much. I'm just going to sit down and watch Netflix because because I can't, I just can't, I can't focus on it. Sure. It's too much. And I think a lot of people do that with their money, tracking your expenses. Like for instance, I track my spending, and if I track it every single day, it takes me less than 5 minutes. Right. But the past week I have not tracked. I had to sit down last night and it took me at least 25 minutes to track all of our spending, all of our transactions from the past week. And I was miserable. I was mad at myself. I was frustrated. I felt like, why didn't I just do this before? And it's like, okay, if I had done it, just say, take literally 5 minutes every single afternoon or morning to just track the day's expenses from the day before, I wouldn't have been put in a situation where I had to take an entire half hour to get my money in order. And I'm someone who's been doing this for like 10 plus years, and I still turn to that. Yeah. So I think that like when you talk about organization, I think so often it's very easy to just think like, oh, color coding everything in rainbows. But I think that it's so imperative. And what you talk about too, is that how it can really impact your life, just not just in terms of convenience, but in other ways as well, like with your time and your money and just like emotional and I think like confidence. Like I'm a more confident person when I know where everything is in my house and I know I have everything in order.
Well, yeah, it's a release off of the mental load.
Yes. Because
you said it wasn't
yes.
what you were talking about before. You said, now I know I have my finances in order, but also it wasn't weighing on you mentally to know this is something right. I want to do. This is a goal because I like knowing this. I like being in full control.
Yes.
And not having tracked it, you don't have control. Yes. Because you don't have a picture, you don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. So really, that was an emotional and mental release for you. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and
that's why it's anxiety. More.
I have been anxious for the past week, and what happens is I take it out on my family, and my husband says, "What's wrong with you?" And I'm like, "It's because I haven't done this, and I don't want to ask you to do it because I want to do it." Could all be avoided if I literally did the 2 minute rule, like you said.
Well, then there's the new habit. There's a new goal for
there
you.
There we go.
To implement. And then, that's a good one. But then I'd also challenge you to see if maybe the system that you've had needs to be tweaked. Mm-hmm. Because this is where people kind of fall off the bandwagon. They think, okay, I'm going to get organized and then I'll never have to do it again. And really, you have to do it on an ongoing basis because what works for you at one point in your life, it cuts both ways. If your life does not change in any aspect, which is not true for anybody, system might work forever, but something new will happen. You'll get a new pet that requires more attention or additional expenses or something like that. Something's going to throw you off. And so maybe look at your system for how you're tracking things. And maybe that needs to be tweaked.
Allison. Yeah. Well, I love the way I track it. It's just about finding time because it gives me so much peace and control, but I'm thinking about other areas of my life and my spending. Like for instance, we do have a new pet and I now have this obsession with buying him treats and dog toys and I go overboard. And so I need to be able to have I need to have a system where I basically am like, before you buy anything, you go to the spot where the stuff is kept and you see if you really need it. Because I do it because I'm so excited and I love him so much and I want to spoil him, but it's very easy to fall into that. I'm going to spend money on this thing or this person or this animal that's sleeping right next to me. So cute because you love him, but we don't have to show our love through spending money. And if they already have it and it's not needed, you can actually save money and then say, you know what? I'm going to actually show him love by taking him on a really long walk or going outside and playing with the toys that he already has. And then you're saving money and you're able to do that because you have everything in a nice organized space and you can see it clearly.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yep. Today's episode is brought to you by my free budgeting and debt payoff cheat sheet. In this cheat sheet, I'm going to be giving you everything you need to kickstart your budget and start paying off debt fast. I'll be sharing with you the most important part of budgeting so that way you can focus on what really works. I'll also be sharing with you how to find more money in your budget and the fastest way to pay off debt. This cheat sheet is so amazing and you can grab it for free by going to inspirebudget.com/cheat sheet or just click the link in my show notes. When we talk about getting organized and what you do, it's very, I feel like it's very broad. So let's say someone's like, yes, I feel like I have clutter in my home or in my life, and I would feel less stress and more relieved. And like you said, that mental load off of me, if I could get rid of that. Coming from someone who likes step-by-steps, that just feels very broad and I don't even know where to begin. So what do you recommend as the expert here? What do you recommend with like tips to help people get started when they don't really know where to begin in their home?
I always like to tell people to start in the room where they spend the most time because they'll see the biggest impact there. And I am not a woo-woo person, but I do kind of believe that you will be a really happy person if you begin and end the day in a room that you love and that makes you feel good and that you can kind of take that feeling and go, oh yes, I want to transfer that to somewhere, to other places. So I usually recommend people start in their bedroom because again, you can, you're starting and ending your day there. And it's all about doing it. And everyone wants to know where's the best place to start. There's no one particular place. It's kind of like, you just got to do it.
Yeah.
You just got to rip off that Band-Aid and do it. Some people don't like that answer too, because they're like, no, Christina, tell me. Really any flat surface, you just attack a flat surface. If someone's home is really cluttered, then safety first, you clear the floor first and give so you're not like tripping over your floor. Then you move to a work surface. So any tables or dresser tops in the room so that you have room to work. Mm-hmm. But I always start with safety because some homes I've been in could be not featured on Hoarders, but maybe like Hoarders Light. they're runners up for sure.
Right.
So there's a lot of stuff, but tip for most that'll work for anybody with any kind of clutter level is just to always be caring. It's the ABC rule. So just don't walk empty handed from room to room, because a lot of clutter, it's stuff that we want. It's just in the wrong place. It hasn't been put away. If you're going to especially go upstairs or downstairs, take something with you. Take that empty laundry basket downstairs so that it's in your laundry room and ready for the clean clothes to go in so that you're not having to keep your laundry in the dryer getting wrinkled because you don't know where the laundry basket is.
I have a personal question. What about kids? What about like dealing with kids? I have one kid who's very like cutthroat. I don't need this anymore. Donate it, give it away, throw it away, whatever, right? Get it out of my room. And then I have one child who finds emotional attachment to every little thing, and clutter just, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's crazy. And I find myself then when they're not home going through and like getting rid of his stuff, and then I feel guilty. So how do I help encourage a child to build those, to teach them really, right? It's about teaching. Sure. It's about teaching them how to become more organized when they might not want to do that.
I understand your struggle. I have one child who could be my partner in my business. He actually used to organize the end caps at Target. And I'd say, bud, we got to go. He's like, but mommy, I can make this better.
Oh my gosh. Like, I love your job.
I know they love you, but like, no, we got to go. And they would always, the Target employees would always giggle. And I'm like, this is fantastic, but we got to go. And then I have another kid who could be a client.
Oh my gosh.
And just this morning he discovered little tiny ants in his room. And I was like, he's like, do they smell like Gatorade bottles? Is that why they're coming in? And I was like, yeah, bud, because his room is just, I've given up. He's 17. It's just like, you know what? I'm here if you need some help, but whatever. He's like, shut the door if it bothers you. So it does.
Oh my gosh.
It really bother him. And it's spring here and the ants are just crawling up. Yeah. So his room is not that bad, but on the scale of
where you want it to be
acceptable. It's not acceptable, but he's 17. So what are you going to do at this point? What I would say is most kids, they just need to be taught new habits, and really for your kiddo that is finding an emotional attachment to things. One thing I tell clients is you can't love everything. If you love everything, then you love nothing.
Oh, yes.
You really need to set limits so that they can prioritize.
Okay.
The kiddo that could be a business partner, that's something he was just really open to that kind of coaching when he was younger. Mm-hmm. And I'd say, I know you love all these little tchotchkes from birthday parties. I know mm-hmm. that, but you don't have room for them and they're getting lost and you're not even able to play with them. So here's a box. I didn't pick a particularly small box. It was not a particularly large box, maybe a shoebox size. Said, you can keep everything that fits in here.
Okay.
So you're setting an artificial limit. And this way you don't feel guilty about having to make that decision. And he, the boy or girl.
Yes.
So he is learning those skills of prioritizing what's really important and letting go. The other thing I like for kids is to do kind of like a mass clean out or a mass declutter of toys, especially this works well when they're younger, not so much when they're older, around holidays and birthdays where new things are anticipated. Mm-hmm. Because you can say, now your Christmas is coming and you have a very generous family. You know, Nana and Papa are going to get you new things, but we don't really have anywhere to put them. So let's make some room. What are some things that could go to kids who don't have toys
or don't have
as many things? What's something that you don't love? What's something that, because a lot of times there are toys that are very inexpensively made and they don't work as well as advertised in the YouTube videos.
Yep.
And so I'm looking at you, Crayola crayon maker. There was like a crayon carver thing in that my one son just absolutely had to have. Bought it with his own money and then was like,
this does nothing.
This is a dud. He goes, this is so hard. And I was like, let's maybe let it go, you know, and give it to someone who has a little more patience to make it work. And he's like, well, good luck to them. But just like using those kind of words and just helping the kids realize that it's not all good. And when you get really specific about things, it can be really helpful. And I'll tell you one story that usually gets a really good response. So it's a story I tell often. And it's called the floppy bee chat story. And so I was working with a new client, maybe we were together like one time before, and we were going through her front hall closet because it was packed full. And it was a closet that she needed to put a cart in because she lived in a condo and she needed to transport things up and down and she couldn't get the cart in or out easily. And it was a pain. So we're pulling everything out and it was really jam packed with stuff. And she had a bunch of hats and she was actually a musician. Mm-hmm. And I knew that she wasn't wearing these hats because she had a hairstyle that wasn't very amenable to wearing hats. She had very big curl, like soft curls, the ones that'll get crushed if you wear a hat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's no way with how often she's going to gigs and stuff like that, there's no way she's wearing all these hats. So knowing that, I said, okay, what are we doing with these hats? And I didn't say globally because that's just too much of a decision. Okay. We went hat by hat, right? So she can make an individual decision. So she's letting go of 95% of the hats are going, maybe even 99%. So we get to this one hat. And I should have mentioned, she lives within walking distance to a beach.
Okay.
Okay. In Cleveland. So she lives on the lakefront. So we get to this hat. I go, what's this hat? You know, do we want to keep this hat? And she goes, well, it's a floppy beach hat. Everybody needs a floppy beach hat. I'm thinking, she's not wearing this hat. So I go, okay. I go, how long have you lived in this apartment or this condo? She goes, like 8 or 9 years. I said, in that amount of time, how many times have you gone to the beach? Now, remember, she's within walking distance of that beach. She goes, it can go.
Because she'd never gone to the beach.
Wow. She did not need that floppy beach hat. Mm-hmm. So that is something that maybe, I don't know if you can translate that to your kiddo that's having trouble letting go of things, but that's where I talk about the disconnect between what people think they need or what they think is going on in their life. Like she thought she needed a floppy beach hat. Then when I asked her, she actually doesn't go to the beach.
Oh,
so she doesn't need it.
I can relate this so easily to money, like what people spend money on. Even whenever you're going through and you're organizing your money and you're looking at every expense you have and you ask yourself, am I actually using this? Is this even bringing me any joy? Do I actually want it? Because right. I think, like you said, there's a disconnect between what we think we want and what we really actually want or we really actually use. And I know there was one time my husband, this was before we were married, he paid for like 6 months for a gym membership that he didn't even know he had because his finances were disorganized. Oh, and so, and he's also the editor of this podcast. So I love you, Matt. This was when you were young and it was like 6 months. And I think it might've been I think he was paying for maybe both of our gym memberships and it was just going on a credit card and he was just paying that credit card off every month. And had there been organization there, he would have said like, okay, hold on. Like, I'm not even using this. This isn't even anything that we use anymore. So I can let this go. And I think that sometimes we have to look at our expenses and ask ourselves, is this the floppy beach hat? Do yep. I actually use it? Do I actually yep. want it? Or do I just think I need it? Mm-hmm. Because everyone else has it. Yeah. Because everyone else has it.
Yeah. Like an Amazon Prime membership. Yes. I think I'm like the last person in the world who does not have an Amazon
Prime.
There
you go. You're proud. Yeah, I have it. But like we did that with cable like years and years and years mm-hmm. ago before it was like cool, before Hulu existed, yeah. before anything like that. We said, okay, are we really using it? What are we watching? Well, I was watching HGTV. That was it. That was the extent of our cable use. And so we let it go and we got an antenna with the rabbit ears on the roof and we looked crazy, but to us it was worth it because it was very much of, well, everyone else says that this is the expectation and that's what I think I want, but is that really what I want? And we realized that it wasn't.
Right.
So I love that. I love the idea of doing that with not just stuff in your house, but what you spend money on as well. Because when you do that with what you spend money on, you bring less into your home, which means less to organize, less to deal with, less to clean. Like I'm all about that life.
Right. But it means more free time and more options.
Yes.
More possibilities because you have more money, you have more time because stuff takes time and money to maintain.
Yep.
You know that like people spend, like, I think it's like 1 in 12 Americans have a storage unit and they're spending $1,000 on it a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We don't. I'm happy to say we don't actually.
We don't either. And I'm all my clients, everyone's like, should I just start by getting a storage unit? And I'm like, why do you want to pay to house your clutter? Like, really? Like, give me that $1,000 if you wanted to throw it out the window.
I love it. So. Oh, wow. Well, this has been so great. I want to know though, where we can learn more about you and what you do and how we can start organizing our lives better and how it really impacts our money and just the way that we live every day.
Sure. Well, I have a special freebie. It's an organizing guide about 5 ways that you are kind of getting in your own way.
Ooh.
To prevent you from getting organized. So your listeners can grab that at bit.ly. So bit.ly/inspiredbudget.
Oh, perfect. I'll also link that in the show notes.
Yeah, perfect. Great. And then that will get you, so you'll get emails from me with different tips and I'm very, as you can tell, probably very practical organizer. I'm not a magazine. Like there's two kind of organizers. So there's the people that you can follow on Pinterest that will show you their perfectly manicured home that looks like it just was ripped out of Better Homes and Gardens.
Right.
And then you have me, you'll go over to my blog and you'll see pictures from real people's homes.
I love that. So that
your awkward spaces, it's not well lit. There's extra junk in the background because that's how people live. It's like nobody needs to live in a magazine.
Right.
You just need to live in a home that suits your needs and supports your life.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So if people just want to go and check out my blog, they can find that at streamlinedlivingoh.com.
Perfect.
So the OH is because I'm in Ohio. And when I was setting up my business, there was another person in Texas who had the URL and I was like, stink. And she's no longer in business, but you can't buy it. It's been forever. So annoying. So yeah. streamlinedlivingoh.com.
Well, great. Well, we'll link all of that below. And thank you so much for joining us, Christina. Christina, at the end of every episode, I like to ask my guests 3 questions to just get to know them a little bit more. And I want you to think too hard about these. Just answer right away. Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay.
Like rapid fire.
I know, right? So the first question is, what is one thing on your bucket list that you want to do?
Ooh. Okay. So this has been the same for the past 30 years. So maybe I should just schedule it and do it. I want to stand on the steps of the Sydney Opera House, just like the Facts of Life girls did.
Wow. Oh my God. So have you ever been to Sydney?
No, I've never. No, I've never been to
Australia. That's a big trip to take from Ohio.
But my husband, well, I know, but we're not in the middle of like nowhere, Ohio.
Right. Right. But just, it's a long trip just from America.
It is a long trip. My husband was in the Navy, so he has actually been to Sydney. So, wow. And he's like, yeah, I would totally go back there. So probably once we get the kids to college, maybe they'll have a little bit more time. It's hard.
I think you should put it in the calendar. I mean, even years from now, I think you should put it in the calendar.
Well, it's definitely going to happen. Cause like I said, it's ever since, maybe it's longer than 30 years. And I'm really, I think it's been much longer than 30 years since I'm older. When you think about when they did, do you know what special I'm talking about?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You're younger than I am. Well, all right. So the Gen X listeners will understand what I'm talking about.
Okay, perfect. The second question is, what's one money mistake you've made that you would tell everybody to avoid?
I think it's being too hesitant or kind of too cheap to invest in quality items. So then I would have to rebuy things because the way I cheaped out didn't work or didn't last.
I have done that. I did that a lot in my 20s. Right. And then every year I was buying new things of the same thing. And
Right. I think annoying. Like fast fashion, like the clothes are like literally disposable, like literally, because they can't even be recycled.
Yeah.
They're made from such inexpensive fabrics that they can't be reused.
That is a good one that no one has ever said. So I appreciate
bonus
that.
Bonus points for me.
That's right. And the third one is actually, just want you to finish this sentence. It is, my favorite thing I've ever spent money on is?
My family's Disney cruise to Alaska.
Oh, we just went to Disney World for the first time in March. I've never been. And I have heard that Disney cruises are absolutely amazing. What makes them so great?
They're pretty much you pay for everything ahead of time for the most part. And so you're not getting nickeled and dimed on the ship. Okay. And they just, I don't know. And I am not a huge Disney freak by any, like I'm looking around my room and there's nothing Disney here and I don't like wear it and not like that, but I enjoy the experience and I enjoy being taken care of. And I enjoy the quality of the experience. And this was not something that we just said, oh, let's just do. Like we had talked about it for a real long time. We cashed in all of our loyalty points for every single program.
Wow. Yeah. Because it's expensive.
Genius. Yeah. And he made it work. Well, it's the Alaskan cruise is a week long trip. And so that's a huge one, but we had to time it just right because the least expensive time of the year to go is on the last cruise of the year, which is during the school year.
So we
thought, okay, well, let's go in eighth grade. So, well, when our oldest is in eighth grade, so he's not missing high school. And it was like the perfect timing. So we worked it, but that has absolutely been an amazing experience.
Oh, that's good. Did your kids love it?
They did. They did.
And so eighth grade wasn't too old to take him?
No, no. Okay. The thing is Disney knows how to do it. So they have age appropriate like clubs for the kids to go to.
You
can have like adult time and they have clubs all the way up to like age 18. And then there's like over 18 places to go. So they're separated by ages. So it's not, and they're all designed to be attractive to that age set with the activities and what they have in the rooms so that you don't have 3-year-olds mixing with 12-year-olds.
That's good.
Or even 9-year-olds. Like they're split. I think it's like 5-3 and under. 3 to 5, like they're all the age groups make sense. And so my kids on this cruise, depending on how many kids are on the cruise in Alaska at this time, there were not many kids. So you can go up, but not down.
Okay.
So my little one can go up, but
Well,
the older one
can
go down. Yeah.
Well, that sounds like something I'll definitely have to check out. I don't know. I my husband's not big on cruises. He's, I don't know, just being confined to a boat.
I don't know. We've been lucky enough to go on 2 Disney cruises. My in-laws took us, well, when my mother-in-law retired, she wanted to take the whole family on a Disney cruise. So we did that. So we were treated to that. And then once we got a taste of that, I said to my husband, I go, this is just wonderful. There's just something about having to block off your schedule mm-hmm. and knowing that you're going to be away from everything.
Yep.
We were away from, like, in Alaska, you did not have cell service.
Yeah.
They were just away from email. We'd get to land and then connect to Wi-Fi and there'd mm-hmm. be like, my phone would just jingle out of my hand with all the notifications. That was actually very satisfying. But yeah, something to look into. Mm-hmm. I think even if you're not a big Disney freak, they just don't, like certain other cruise lines, they'll try and kill you. They'll run up on a coral reef. They'll have a fire. They'll launch in bad weather. Disney is not ever going to kill you.
Yeah. Disney knows how to run things. I will say that.
They do. And did you hear they're getting into housing now? There's a housing community market, not community market, but a planned community, I think in Florida. I forget what it's called.
Interesting.
But yeah. So they're doing like retirement homes.
Oh, wow.
That's
interesting. Mm-hmm. My goodness. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for letting us get to know you a little bit better and your family, actually.
Sure. That's what you did learn about. But that's, you know, what you get with me is we're not just one person.
That's right. I agree.
It's a team thing. Well, thank you so much, Allison.
Thank you. I hope you enjoyed that episode with Christina, and I hope that you're a little bit more inspired to go ahead and tackle some of the clutter in your home. I know that I'm actually going to go tackle my bedroom after hearing her talk, and I'm totally going to start doing that 2-minute rule because I am notorious for just putting things away and adding it to my to-do list later and never actually getting it done. Be sure to click the link in the show notes to grab that freebie she was talking about, and I will see you next week. Bye.